Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 22nd on the West Coast, now February the 23rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome those who are listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, as well as on Blog Talk Radio.com. If you were listening to Drew Rain's show this afternoon, where I was a guest, we got a little bit of a late start, and I know that you folks on those two networks have been going through Hades, to say it in the simplest fashion. Just getting on the air these days is a chore. There's that much truth coming out that they don't want to you to hear it, and so we're going to keep our fingers crossed and presume that we have such wonderful information that even the intel agencies are going to want to hear it tonight. The topic is right on the button, too, as far as synchronicity. We talked about nanotechnology last week, especially Friday with scientist inventor Jim Murray, and basically, we talked quite a bit about consciousness. Now, I had the opportunity to work on some of my archives, which I've been way behind on because of attacks on the site and a million other things, not to mention research and new articles coming out. And I was able to listen to a show that Jim and I did around July 15th of 2008. It's really interesting to listen to a two-hour broadcast that we did where we tore the reptilians apart. And we talked about the moon, we talked about Mars, we talked about Earth, underground bases, tunnels, you name it. And we're talking about the technology and who these people really are. It's, I think, one of the best shows that we've ever done on Evident Footprints. And if ever the need arises where I need to be able to play an archive, I'm going to choose that particular archive that I had the opportunity to listen to today. It's mind-blowing what we covered, and it's worth a second listen. Hopefully tonight is going to be such a show. Our guest is a talk show host in his own right. He hosts a daily show, five days a week on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's called The Story Behind the Story. And also, he is an author. He is a specialist in naturopathy or naturopathy, if you want to say it that way. And basically, he's been on Evident Footprints now every Monday for the past few months, and we enjoy having him. You tell me that you appreciate the information. He's back again tonight to start off another week, and his name is Dr. A. Truat. True, welcome to the show.
Well, my pleasure, Don, and thanks for having me on again. I don't know if you had a chance to check your emails, but I did send you a 10-page paper that I just kind of rapidly put out yesterday and then finished up today. It's titled Nanotech, DynCorp, and NSA Goes Bang.
Yes, I have it here. And this looks like it's going to compete with Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhower.
Well, I don't know. I think it's pretty hard-hitting. But I got an anonymous tip from a gentleman who claims to have had access to some NSA and CIA documents going back to the beginning of the Cold War, roughly 1946-1947 era, where there was over 4,200 or so Nazi nationals, German nationals that were, you know, part of the Nazi Party that were given basically complete new dossier and citizenship files and all that, and were basically folded into American society. And, you know, the top Nazi on this whole list, of course, goes back to the general of the Gestapo at that time, General Reinhold Gehland. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, well, you know, he was basically given a surname of Woolsey. That was his nom de plume, and was given a residency and all that and a whole file of information in Oklahoma. And he said he had a son that was born in 1941. Well, he was still active in the Nazi and Hitler Third Reich. And, of course, they quickly transferred him out after the fall of Berlin. The families came first and basically settled in the heartland of America in Oklahoma. Well, I just got to thinking, well, is this guy trying to tell me something about the Woolsey? So I just pulled in on a search engine, Woolsey and Reinhold Gehland, and lo and behold, there's an amazing series of links to CIA director and director of DynCorp, James Woolsey. And mm-hmm. I did a full, you know, there's a full bio on James Woolsey and how he, as a very young lad, was given a lot of incredible perks. I mean, he got right into Stanford, did all of this, this incredible, you know, just like the long-legged Mac Daddy, just almost too much, where he's not, you know, a landed gentry. You know, he's not part of the Ivy League, but he sure gets into the circles really fast without having any credentials from his parental line.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pulled picture. I found a color picture of General Gehland and compared them to side by side, and it about knocked your socks off. It's boy, I talk about identical looking people.
Oh yeah, and besides that, they look a little bit like Star Trek characters too. You know, your research dovetails into the piece I did on George H. Scherf, Jr., uh-huh. which is the Bush clan, and I discovered that Admiral Wilhelm Canaris was teaching law at Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee, Oklahoma, and the CIA was paying his rent at his house on, I think it's Middle Street, if I remember, 146 Middle Street, about a block and a half from the law building. And Galen's name, of course, came up a number of times, particularly when I began researching Otto Skorzeny.
Uh-huh.
And Skorzeny says that he and Galen murdered Nikola Tesla. He gave the confession.
Really?
That occurred. Yeah, that's in my Scherf piece. There's a whole section on Tesla. See, you're behind the eight ball on that. That's been out since April of 2007.
This
dovetails with your research all the way across the board. In fact, Galen was in line. He thought he was going to get the head of become the head of Interpol after the war. Basically, they turned him into a double agent between the CIA and the KGB at the time. Of course, he set up the whole network on both sides and basically played first and second fiddle.
Yeah, right. And so we see the family resemblance. I tell you what, when you look at those pictures, all the General Gehland has to do is smile, and it's like it looked like he's looking at James Woolsey in the mirror. It's just phenomenal. I mean, I did a close up look at their ears, their nose, their eyes. I mean, it's bizarre. It looks so identical in so many ways. And so, yeah, if he was given the surname Woolsey, it's just like Mengele was given the name Green, you know, and or he went by Green Bomb as well. They were all given new names, new identities, and their families were kind of folded in. You know, and there's no way that I could found to 100% corroborate that from the source that was given to me, but, you know, I thought, well, I'll just, as a funny hunch, just start seeing what comes up, and I pulled those photos up, and I couldn't believe it. My jaw dropped off the floor.
Yeah, there's a resemblance. Now, I have a picture where his son is getting married, and in that photo is Dr. Green, who you mentioned, standing in the back. Actually, his alias out on the street and amongst those that aren't in the mind control programs is Stephen Rabel, R-A-B-E-L. And he is trackable. I've tracked him down. I know where he is.
Now, who's that? Who's Stephen Rabel? The
Mengele. Joseph Mengele.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still alive, I understand.
Oh, yes.
Quite obese, heavy set.
Yes, and dyed black hair, you know, the whole nine yards. Probably getting all kinds of hormone treatments and transplants and what have you. There would be no doubt that they're a core group. Even Borman is alive. Now, Skorzeny had the name Pizina, and he died on December 31st of 1999. And they were making annual trips up to Lake McDonald Lodge at Glacier National Park. The last trip he made, because he started going downhill health-wise, and that was the first time he went downhill where he wasn't involved in some kind of a major assault.
So, so have you had any corroboration of the Galen and Woolsey connection? I mean, is that something that you can run across at all?
I have. Plus, when you see the photos, I'll make sure you get to see the photo I have of the son getting married. And so you see two men quite younger that still look alike.
Uh-huh. Okay?
You're going to notice that. You're going to notice that.
So where was his son married? There in Oklahoma?
No, this was in Florida. This took place in Florida. Most of these guys were living down in Broward County, Bradenton. For a while, some of them were up near Pompano Beach, the Fort Lauderdale area. And they moved them around. Skorzeny was an architect by trade and an engineer. From the university, and he was reduced to being just a general foreman on a construction crew, doing things like building strip malls and those sorts of urban complexes that were being, you know, put out through all the suburbs of the major towns. And I actually spoke to his son as well, and he was quite surprised I located him. He's up in your neck of the woods, a little bit north and east of you, but he's in the west, and he works with an earth moving company. It's a construction company that specializes in bulldozers and steam shovels and that kind of stuff. So I thought I'd share that with you because it dovetails. These guys are alive, and they are in touch with Bush Sr. He was part of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Canaris was alleged to have been hung in the nude at Flossenbürg, and that did not occur. They secreted him into Shawnee, Oklahoma, where he was a law professor of all things. And many of the people that they worked into their network were educated by him through that school. Most of those people went into the real estate money laundering that they're now involved in today.
Wow.
And you see this repeatedly. Tinker Air Force Base is a connection, and Denison, Texas. even Obama's alleged grandparents operated in Denison. And wait till you see what I've uncovered on that. It's mind-blowing. The guy that got Eisenhower's birth certificate squared away through a judge, totally fraudulent. This is totally illegal what they did. And I've got the return letter. I've got the letter, actually. Got a copy of the letter that requests all this information. Not the newspaper article. In fact, the article left a lot out. This guy has at least 8 aliases. The guy that spearheaded this whole event. And I actually can tie him to the Eisenhower clan. He's actually an Eisenhower. So it's pretty mind-blowing. You want to talk about the Cold War? I think the Cold War is actually the reason we have global warming right now, to tell you the truth.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, the links to this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering why we're laughing about it, well, this R. James Woolsey, if you, again, just do a search on him, you'll find his resume and bio. He's deeply tied to this company called DynCorp. Also, during the Clinton administration, he was the CIA director for 2 to 3 years as well. Now, when you read some of the things that Woolsey has given it as far as interviews, I was just amazed that he actually spoke to a group of students at UCLA and declared that back in 2003 that we were beginning World War IV. And I'm sorry, where did I miss World War III? He said that basically the Cold War was World War III. But now we're into World War IV. But the guy doesn't, I mean, the guy's more than a little nutty with some of the things he's come up with. And yet he sits on DynCorp. He's one of the top chief spooks in the nation. And you just don't ascend to that post without some major heavyweights behind you. You know, just ask George Herbert Walker Bush. You know, as they send to that. So whenever you look at what's going on in his history, I mean, Woolsey's directorship of DynCorp, and as we reported last fall, Don, about the American police force
up in Hardin,
the ties to DynCorp and the Phoenix Consulting Group, lo and behold, on September 28th, a report comes out in the Washington Insider BizTech newspaper that DynCorp is looking to purchase Phoenix Consulting Group there in Falls Church, Virginia, the headquarters of all these spook agencies. And darned if Phoenix Consulting Group's logo is not identical in every way to the Hardin, Montana, American Police Force logo. And you see that American Police Force is wanting to do a training school, the grounds to train these police force mercenaries worldwide there in Montana. Then we, you know, as I told listeners last fall, to check out, trying to find out who really was the parent company of the American Police Force Group. I made a phone call to the number listed for DynCorp for career opportunities and asked them, you know, what they were looking for private police force training. And they gave me the number for American Police Force. So I don't think that they would have done that if they were competitors. I'm quite confident they were, you know, keeping it internal. You know, I say all this, Don, because I kind of forgot about that storyline until I looked at and checked into the Woolsey connection, and suddenly there was a paper brewing, because since the Phoenix Consulting Group has been taken over by DynCorp, their website has just really morphed into a very strange thing. It's you know, whereas Phoenix Consulting Group was their website prior, it's called intelpros.com, was very well done and I thought was very professional. In fact, that they just show that they provide the training for each of the intelligence divisions in America, 15 or 16 different divisions, from Central Intelligence to NSA to Navy Intelligence to INSCOM, you name it, okay? That's what they did. But now, since DynCorp's taken it over, it's almost like a Mickey Mouse thing that's come in. It's like, we're going to train corporations on how to train an intelligence group inside of Fortune 500 companies. It's like, hello, we're going to be training the corporate heads on how to gather information, or what they call capture information on their competitors. And it's absolutely nuts when you see that they're actually utilizing NSA and current employees as well as NSA retired or past employees, right? It's clear, Don, that there's a very, very cozy, if not outright, partnership between DynCorp and the NSA.
Well, I would venture to guess that there's one like that with FEMA too.
Oh yeah, I mean it just makes my blood boil when I realize how much, you know, the NSA is all based on taxpayer dollars, funding their Fort Meade facility, now putting out billions of dollars of taxpayers' money to expand their operation here into Utah. Taxpayers' money is paying for it, but it seems like it's going to benefit the bottom line black profit of DynCorp. It's clear that there's a seamless integration there. Now, I have a real problem with that as a taxpayer. I don't know about you, but man, that's absolute fascism at its worst.
Oh, obviously. Yes, I do. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen the Wikipedia picture of Mr. Woolsey, but it might behoove you to take a look at it, even though it's black and white. He looks very much like dear old dad. And there's no mention as to who his parents are. I find that really interesting. That,
yeah, exactly.
When they don't want you to know who the parents are, there's no mention.
I did the same thing. I dug and dug trying to find mention of who his parents are, where his dad worked. None of that. It's like he was just created out of thin air.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they had names made up for Eisenhower, and I don't mean to keep dwelling on that, other than to use it as a perfect example. But when you start looking into the details of the alleged parents, you find out that they couldn't have existed because the people that they supposedly grew up with and lived with and were aided and abetted by didn't exist. That's an impossible situation. Those people, therefore, could not exist themselves. And I proved that with Ida Stover. In fact, Dwight married a girl named Ida himself. You know, is that a coincidence? I mean, I found that in the lineage. Recently, just 2 days ago, by the way, I found here in the States there's a website that alludes, a guy is alluding to the fact that his mother informed him that they were direct descendants of the Eisenhower family, and she ties it to Bukovina in Austria-Hungary. And the mother of that wing or branch of the family is Barbara Zarowski, the woman that I wrote about in the article. What they don't know is that Franz Joseph is the father. That's what the family doesn't know. When you spend the amount of time that I did on that, it kept leading back to the same, this has to be the person. This has to be the person. And we see that Now, in the case of Woolsey, you know, his predecessor was Robert Gates. Does that name ring a bell?
Uh-huh. Of course.
You know, these guys have a carousel going of the intelligence agencies, the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the major brokerage houses on Wall Street. I mean, they don't deviate from the plan. It's just over and over and over, same thing. So, you know, they're financing all this stuff, likely through drugs. They're running the intel operations off of the secret income that they have from laundering drug proceeds, and that goes. They cleaned it up by putting it through the same banks. They were probably laundering it through the Federal Reserve and the Treasury too.
Well, no? You know, I don't know, you know, just how this is going to stop. And of course, as you know, we had a gentleman blow his stack, no pun intended, and firebomb his house, make his wife and kid homeless as he suicide bombs the IRS. Okay, well, what's wrong with that picture? You know, here in Ogden, where I live, in fact, right across from my offices is the secure compound of the IRS regional office. You know, here in Ogden, Utah, it handles about a 5-state area, and there was no real mention of the story of Stack, other than they used the tack here in front page news. IRS employees afraid to go to work. You know, basically it's an act of terror against these good, hardworking federal employees that shouldn't be subject to these type of lunatic bombers, okay? And it's just, I read that and just, my goodness, what a spin. Could it possibly be that this Mr. Stack was programmed to do this? I mean, yeah, we're all upset at the government, Don. You know, there's things like we're talking about right now that, you know, they're basically robbing our pockets to play poker against us. And the poker's high stakes. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's our mind, it's our house, our homes, our livelihood.
You know, so far all we've heard is a story. Have you seen any proof that this guy flew the plane, that he was found there? You know, and notice the building didn't fall. That building was on fire.
Hey, that's a good point. You know, what's wrong with that? I guess it wasn't a big 747, so it wouldn't cause the structural damage. No.
Well, that wasn't a 110-story tower either.
So yeah, I mean, there's. I was able to download his Stack's testimonial, you know, his final farewell, and I got to tell you, Don, you know, they've shut down that website that carried it 5 or 6 different times.
How did anybody know how to go look for the website?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Or
yeah.
Did he leave it in a note in his firebombed house or what?
And I read that his wife and daughter, is it? I think, uh-huh. Well, his family stayed in a hotel while all this was going on. Who told them to go to a hotel?
Yeah, well, crazy daddy did, obviously. But I've just got a real gut suspicion this guy is. You know, look at his engineering history, you know, where he worked, his past employers, and it's very possible he could be just one of these microchipped individuals to do this job and to create this panic. We talked about this on Drew Raines' show Wednesday, you know, when he broke the story of the CAT teams, the critical action teams, paramilitary, likely DynCorp trained, that are now being deployed for what purpose? To basically gather information on these subversive talk show hosts and journalists to stop acts like Mr. Stack again. It's here the cat teams are formed before Stack even blows a stack.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I had read something about that a couple of days before Drew brought that up on his show. And I don't even recall how I got to it. It may have just been through the course of research that I came upon that. But boy, when he brought that up and you guys were talking about it, really rang a bell loud and clear, because I had been reading quite a bit about it. And it's amazing. The truth is coming out. You know, are we supposed to know this, or is this being intentionally released to create fear?
Yeah, I tell you, it's I ought to send you this Standard Examiner newspaper article. Talk about pure propaganda. They're interviewing all the these anonymous IRS workers and how they're all wearing black and are afraid to come to work anymore. And we need, need more security against these wackos. Well, never are they mentioning that the IRS is not a government agency. It's a private corporation with a private charter, and it's for profit. They take a percentage of what they collect, and again, it goes on and on ad nauseum. You know, it's just they've basically been. Terrorizing the American public for how many decades?
Mm-hmm.
With their forced act, you don't pay us, we'll strong arm you and lien your property and take your property and sell it. Who's the real terrorist here?
Yeah, they throw you in prison, fine you, all these things, and it's illegal. None of it's constitutional. It's.
Yeah, show me the, like Aaron Russo said, just show me the law, you reptiles. he, bold as a monkey's brass, walks in and to the top head dog of the IRS and just says, show me the law. And of course they couldn't and wouldn't. Wouldn't even discuss it. Got kind of nasty with him. This is, of course, in his movie From Freedom to Fascism.
Yeah.
Well done there. But I just see the connections here, Don, with what the NSA is really up to. It's clear that the defense of this nation is a lower rung of priority for these guys. What they're really doing is basically bidding out their services to Fortune 500 companies on a contract basis. To spy on their neighbors. I mean, here we have in DynCorp's own website, I just searched for see what kind of careers there are. I pulled up this the advertisement for a career. It's for a quote, a senior director, intelligence community capture management. Now, what the heck is that? Intelligence community capture management. Well, does that mean they're going to go out there and try to capture, Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden lookalikes or what? What is that all about? And here again, this is DynCorp, and they're saying on the list that this position carries with it an NSA top secret security clearance. Now, how can a private corporation like DynCorp offer NSA top secret security when NSA is supposed to be a government operation with only government secrets? How does that work?
And it's being headed by a company that launders money through churches.
Yeah. Well, here's the job advertisement under experience needed. Now, this is word for word quote from the DynCorp website. Quote, must have demonstrated intelligence community, IC, business development, and capture skills, and possess a minimum of 10 years of relevant recent experience with the Department of Defense, Intelligence Community, IC/DOD, specifically working with the National Security Agency, NSA. Now get this. Candidate must have a proven record of captures for large opportunities, parentheses 100 plus M, I assume that's $100 million, with high win rate in a government contracting environment. What? You know, so I said, what do they mean by captures? What's the code word for capture? So I went in and did some searching, and lo and behold, the Department of Justice has a primer for all these intelligence community terms. The DOG, to tell, you know, so that their attorneys can figure it all out, because this is kind of a maze, you know. Capture is defined as intelligence information that they grab, that they get covertly through surveillance, through phone taps, through wiretaps, through computer hacking, okay? So let me read this again. There's an experience portion of DynCorp. Quote, candidate must have a proven record of captures for large opportunities. In other words, they capture information that ring the cash registers for $100 million or more with high win rate in a government contracting environment. In other words, we need to, you're going to capture information that'll give you the heads up to get these good government contracts.
Sounds to me like it's organized takeover of pension funds, corporate, you know, privatized pension funds of corporate interests. And I use two examples, Longview Aluminum and McCook Metals in Chicago, formerly owned by Michael Lynch. They were swindled from him. The government went in and raided the pension fund and set up Michael Lynch to accuse him of having stolen the money.
Well, that must be what they mean by a capture.
I think it's a takeover of a business is what it is. That's what I think it is.
No, I'm still today just shocked. I have to laugh a little bit at this, because let me just make sure listeners understand the scenario we're talking about here. DynCorp, a private for-profit corporation, partners up with the super spy network NSA, and it's taxpayer-funded telecommunications spy satellites. Remember that movie Enemy of the State, how they can just tap into every network?
Mm-hmm.
It's all done under the disguise of national security and protecting our borders, right? And they team up with this super spy network in order to give favorable treatment to its bidding partners, to DynCorp's bidding partners, who have got a percentage of the take here in these massive U.S. government defense contracts. Okay, wait. How is the taxpayer not getting shafted in all this? Okay? But here's the kicker. Because if you're a small company, not really a Fortune 500, you've got only about $100 million a year in revenue, and you want to bid on a government contract, never fear. Never fear. Guess what? Just go to your Google search engine and if you want to protect your bidding network and your process from unethical hackers, guess what? You can get the services of a certified ethical hacker, a CEH. I kid you not, Don.
I heard that show.
A certified ethical hacker. You go and run a Google search on such beasts, certified ethical hackers. There's a whole burgeoning industry of CEH designees. Okay,
I have a question.
Not.
This is just a logical question. The person that actually does the certifying, are they ethical or not?
And who the hell are they? Is it DynCorp Phoenix Corporation that provides the certification? I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I mean, that's how ludicrous it is. And so what the certified ethical hacker does is he comes in and attempts an ethical hack on your system to see where it's deficient. And then, lo and behold, he'll show you where there's deficiencies and make a report. And I'll bet you that certified ethical hacker also shares his report with DynCorp so they can sell it to the highest bidder on how they can hack it better.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like the Gestapo or the organized crime mafia boss comes into Don Nikoloff, who owns a music store, and says, "Yeah, Don, there's a lot of unethical firebombing going on around here. You need to pay me 10% to protect you. You know, and if you don't pay, guess what? You might get firebombed." Well, how is this any different? Just high tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's obvious. Well, when they're talking about capture, I'm going to guess that's an actual heist, a swindle. And that could be real estate. That can be a corporation. You remember when we were told that we were moving out of the industrial age and we were into the information age? And about 2 years into the information age, all of a sudden, we were in the service age. They were telling us, oh, no, what people want now is service. But we got this information thing going on in the background. All the focus, all the attention was on service as all the jobs left the country. And that was part of the brainwashing and the mind control just to get people thinking, oh, yes, service is so important. It's so important. While they spent all their time screwing us with the backdoor technology that they created.
Well, and it's just like my business, Don. You know my business. It's a small mom and pop. My wife and I, my son, my daughters work there. We don't have a lot of sales, but we make enough to pay the bills, and that's about it. Since I started doing the radio talk show, I'll tell you what this radio talk show has cost me. When I was on and doing it with Rents and then RBN, immediately my website got hacked. I mean, to the point where anybody that was ordering product through the website, meminerals.com, got notified if they had Norton, oh, this is unsafe site, it's got a virus, and it shuts it down. Boom. And so we had all kinds of problems. People were either not ordering or they immediately thought, well, this is an illegitimate rip-off website, because they got that notice coming on to their, their protected computer. And then either that or when they did place the order, half of it went into Never Never Land. In September, in October, we probably lost $6,000 in this. And that's, to me, that's a lot of money, but to these bozos, that's penny ante. So, our webmaster, the web designer, who's a real computer geek, I mean, this guy knows how to hack and get into any program. He traced who was doing this, and he comes to me and said, "Who are you pissed off? This is high level. This is high level hack. This is
NSA."
Yeah, I said, well, what the hell? I said, well, I guess we'll just shut down the website. We'll just, keep it going as a phone order. And he says, oh, well, I can get you a firewall, but it's a monthly fee. And darn if it wasn't 10%, So I had the choice. Either I pay $600 a month continuous, which is $7,200 a year, or lose my website revenue. See, I felt like, okay, there you go. It's a racket. I'm being shaken down again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Promis software was used and it was abused and sold all over the world with back doors in it.
Right.
Michael Riconosciuto would tell us all about that if he were not in jail and were allowed to speak. He could tell us a heck of a lot about that. And then they took that and the proceeds from the sales and that and actually got into the biotechnology area. You see, all of this is dovetailing into the same thing. All these people are all doing the same thing. They're doing the hacking, they're doing the money laundering, the drug smuggling, the bank heists, the derivatives, the hedge funds. They're doing the real estate scams, all of it. They are the problem. I keep saying this, you know. There's no doubt about it. What other thing would they do? What other thing would the Gestapo do coming to the United States but to take it over? And to take it over with the complicity of people that are in our government that have no business being there because they came in illegally.
Well, then, of course, we've got the next phase of the nanotechnology, and as we said last week, nano. I mean, it's getting to be, the buzzword anymore of what's going on. I mean, it's estimated by 2015, if we live that long, Don, that fully 50% of our processed food will have nanoparticles, nanotechnologies in place, all of which have no long-term testing for safety. You know, the mycoplasm of Morgellons disease is clearly a nanotechnology that's gone awry. How many more types of Morgellons type of disasters are going to hit us? These things are, you know, it's just not nice to fool Mother Nature. But since we talked last, verified in Austria that they've taken the vaccine needles from the H1N1. Now, not the vaccine itself. Now, the needles itself, they've got a powder coating on the interior that's done supposedly to keep them sterile, antibacterial, antiviral powder, right? But looking closely at this powder, they have nano chips, mu chips in them, they're called, that are tremendously sophisticated. Don, these things are carrying 128 bits of ROM in each chip, and there's, you know, as much as, you know, 30 to 50 chips per syringe, all tied to a barcode on the syringe. And once you get the vaccine, your social security number and or driver's license number is recorded as an identification for that barcode chip.
Now, it's no accident that technology works out on the basis of the Rothschild banking families. This is an alien technology, wouldn't you say?
It's something, I'll tell you, but the reality is, and again, this goes back to work in NASA. NASA actually at one time was able to chip the astronauts to record the 24/7 everything they thought and did. I mean, that's pretty well documented. But this technology is such that it's just amazing. These nano chips will travel through on the blood and lodge themselves. They're designed to pass the blood-brain barrier and effectually nest in specific neurons tied to the optic and hearing nerves of the brain centers. So what this is really doing, you see, is these chips now become activated by a satellite-driven master computer. Unknowing, naive people that have taken this vaccine can be turned on and off as remote cameras and remote bugging devices. The people themselves become the actual devices. And if you have 50% of a community in Washington, D.C., or in in any foreign country. You see, what a wonderful, incredible spy network this is. Now, to track these, this, let's say we have a billion people on the planet chipped, whether they're in China or anywhere, and they're all transferred, the nanotechnology would also be transferred into this new supercomputer, and to track them, you just need, even with the nanoscale, to track a billion, you need a fairly large facility, maybe a million square feet, and you need an incredible amount of power to power this supercomputer, 36 megawatts. And that's exactly what's being built here in Utah as we speak. The bids are being given. They're fast-tracking this building to be done no later than 4th of July, Independence Day of 2012. Wow. I mean, this is, there's a great website that I put in, I've read the link in this paper, Don. Uh-huh. It's called the mainframe that controls them all. And it's a well done history of the, IBM contracts with Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, and then expanding out to, of course, the leader in these supercomputers through, again, the Promis software breakthroughs. Well, it's International Business Machines, IBM, mm-hmm. a complete CIA, NSA front corporation.
Sure. That turned over all their software operations to Bill Gates.
Is it in relation to the Gates of the CIA?
I don't know, but it's a possibility. Of course, you know, they can make up names out of thin air like they do Federal Reserve notes. So,
yeah. So, I mean, where this is all heading, Don, is very ominous to me. Suppose... Again, now it's, the technology reviews that are you have to dig through some nanotech journals and some government publications, but you get a pretty fair picture of what was being planned clear back in 2000, well before September 11th. This nano scale computers and chips were basically presented and funded to the DOD. And NSA clear back in 2000-2001. So this is not just something they just happened in a wet dream to have last night. It's been working on for a decade, and it's now coming to fruition, okay? Suppose you have, again, the 6 billion people by the year 2012. Let's say that the next round of virus that's released is even more deadly than this last one. And so... even more people get terrorized into taking the vaccine and get chipped. Suppose by the year 2012 that half of the world's population, let's say 60%, 4 billion people are now chipped. The supercomputer in Utah will be able to track each one of these people independently, each one of the 6 billion people on this planet have a unique DNA code, just as unique as their fingerprint. This chip will access and analyze that. It will be stored in the massive data bank. And so these chips not only send information, but also receive information to the neurons, which can give euphoric feelings of happiness, or can cause deep depression or manic episodes. This is a complete and total takeover. And if you happen to be of a genetic bloodline that doesn't match with General Galen / Woolsey's ideas of the ultimate master race, well, guess what? These chips have the ability to self-destruct, basically implode or explode, and cause these neurons to shatter and cause a brain hemorrhage. I mean, that's what is at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine there's a movie coming out this week, I believe. It's called The Crazies. the whole premise of the movie, there's this strange brain virus or brain disease that's causing these lesions to form. It's a bit funny. That looks a whole heck of a lot like the Morgellons disease structures. But it causes these people to flip and go crazy and walk out and start machine gunning everybody or driving their airplanes into federal buildings or whatever. I mean, imagine if that happened on every small town America and big city USA. What would there be? Would there be anarchy like you won't believe? Would the police be able to handle it, or would they need have some Dyne Corp trained mercenaries come in to keep the peace?
I don't think they'd even have enough people to monitor that. They'd probably just try to do it with technology.
Well, I submit when these police chiefs and sheriffs were debriefed on this, I submit that's what, as you said last week, there's 70 plus police chiefs and or sheriffs that just are quitting.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, what do they know that makes them want to just cut and run for cover?
Well, certainly they were probably asked to do something that they refused to do. And were met with a certain amount of threats and resistance along those lines.
What if it was all to do with this right here, the CAT teams,
mm-hmm,
combining with what they know is coming with these chips? And they all, we're talking about, Don, microchip technology now that the vast majority of Americans could be under control with, if not three-quarters of the population. But we already have NSA/CIA microchipped individuals now with Verichips that do the same thing. I mean, we don't have to wait for the vaccines to
mm-hmm.
do this.
Well, I got to tell you, their minions are off the shelf. I mean, if you listen to them, I'm Jewish. I'm a Vatican agent. You know, I'm paid by the Vatican. The problem there is the checks bounce. Oh man, it's so ridiculous what you see out there, and it's the same minions that have been out there for 30 years doing this stuff. You know?
Yeah, boy. You know, and like I said with my guest today, I had a great guest on my show today. He's authored the book. Now my mind just went blank. Alborelli is his name. Hank. What is the name of his book? I just went completely blank. A Big Mistake, a Tragic Mistake, or something. It's the CIA's mind control experiment. Get this. He documents what happened in 1951 at this little town of 500, little village in France, where the CIA actually sprayed an aerosol of LSD to experiment on these villagers. And it was like scenes out of Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, these villagers went completely insane and nuts. And then Alborelli talks about the other Kelly file, so-called codenamed, where this individual was a CIA agent in Bulgaria and was caught giving information to French intelligence agencies. And like Hank said, well, I thought we were allied with France as part of NATO. Why would this be a problem, giving it to the French? Well, this is the 1950s once again. I said, well, it's obvious, Hank. You got Nazi General Galen and his cohorts heading up this part of the world in the CIA. They hate the French. The French are the enemy. I mean, this 1951, they're only 7 years away from the French occupation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to sit back and, you know, not try things out, especially when Sandoz Laboratories, that manufactures the LSD is part of the Rockefeller cartel. My gosh, it's just an amazing story. A tragic mistake is what it's called. Indeed, it was. The whole CIA formation is a tragic mistake, and you know, with the Cold War ended, you know, and we don't need to have any more of this intelligence network, especially expanding. Keep what it is, if nothing else. Why expand it so drastically?
You know, in the Scherf piece that I alluded to at the top of the show, I did a section on the Federal Reserve. I did another section on Tesla. I did a section on Circuit Chautauqua. And then, of course, the Bush-Walker clan. That was a monumental piece, if I think about that. That could be a book in and of itself. But what I wanted to mention was the Chautauqua traveling circus, if you want to call it that. It was a traveling social program. And after I had written the article, I had gone back into the card file, which was being kept under the auspice of this entry into a Meritech group. This was a Bush-controlled communications company from stolen money from Watergate, okay? And they sponsored this thing for the Smithsonian Institution. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be a historical piece. So they did Circuit Chautauqua. In the card files, in the same box, was Randolph Churchill, who became the father of Winston Churchill, and John Foster Dulles. His brother, Alan Dulles, became the director of the CIA.
Huh?
So when you look at those connections, this was in the, like, 1910s or teens, 1920s, around that time. This was already in the works, 20, 25 years at least, maybe 30 years before the Second World War. There wasn't that much of a space in between those two wars, but we'll say in terms of Circuit Chautauqua, they actually started it in the 1800s. So they were going around the country planning all this out. It was amazing. All the people that went into politics out of that event.
There you go. Yeah, it all does dovetail, as you say. So, wow.
Well, I'm going to post this piece that you wrote. I'm wondering if I should put it in news or documents or both. Maybe I'll do it.
I don't know. If you want it, you can put it in the discard bin file too. I don't.
No, you spent some time on it, and it reads real well, and folks can look at the pictures. You know, Galen sort of had Spock ears, didn't he? And James Woolsey also.
They both. Like I said, if I wish they were both smiling the same way, because I mean I cannot tell the difference. Galen has a frown, and a happy look on his face, but whereas Woolsey looks like he just swallowed the canary.
Well, I've got, if you look at the Wikipedia article, this, you know, run his name through Wikipedia, the first thing that comes up is him, or just put his name in a search engine, and look at that photo. It's black and white, but he's wearing glasses. Now, I've got a picture of Galen wearing glasses, and he looks more like him in that photo because it's a longer shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you're working with a tight shot, you almost have to try to match the size of the heads so you bring out more of the details. But there's a resemblance, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Like I said, I thought it were just mirror images.
Yeah, when I did my research on the long-legged Mac Daddy's father, and I looked at the phony pictures of Michael Rockefeller, they were so different from the real guy. The average person would look at it and say, oh, that's Michael Rockefeller. Yeah, he's out in the jungle. He grew a beard. We couldn't have grown a beard in the time frame that they claimed that he grew one. And then he's an anomaly sitting in the midst of these people where he is bleach white and they are charcoal black and unnaturally. In other words, these photos have been doctored. Okay, I'm not making a racist comment. I'm describing the idiosyncrasies and the abnormalities of those photographs. They have him sitting in tall grass amongst a whole tribe of these people living in New Guinea, and his camera is bleached. You know, everything. His glasses, which were notoriously black framed glasses, are a light gray, almost silver. And then they take the same photograph in search of video, and they do a reversal on it. All of these people become lighter, and he becomes darker.
Yep.
And his camera's restored to what a camera should look like. It's not even Michael Rockefeller. You can look at the ears. You can look at the earlobe. You can look at the angle of the ear. All these little details you can look at, and you can tell. These guys, right away, these two pictures of Galen and Woolsey, it's the same ear.
Yeah, oh yeah. The first thing I looked at was the ears and then the shape of the nose and the cranial structure. Like I said, they are absolutely clones, looking so identical. It has to be father and son.
Yeah. And chin is, chin matches. Nose looks different because, again, you're looking at a tight shot and a long shot. And if you bring the Galen picture, you magnify it a little bit and crop it so that you match the head sizes, you're going to see a lot more similarities.
And you look at the other published bios of people in government, and they talk about the parents and what they did and the early schooling. And none of that's there at all. What grade school did he go to? What high school did he graduate from to get into to Stanford and on and on? I mean, that's really strange. There's nothing of his early history in Oklahoma.
Oh, they make up these stories like they go to Mexico and stay in a hotel. They elope. Okay, this is the first part. They elope against the parents' wishes. Well, wait a minute. When you elope, you don't tell anybody you're going to elope. So it's already starting out as a lie.
Uh-huh.
You know? How can your parents be against what they don't know you're going to do? So that's the first thing. But they'll tell you, well, they went to Mexico, like they did with the McCains. They went to Mexico and got married in the place that invented the Caesar salad. And that's supposed to be really, that's real. You know he got married because they were making Caesar salads there. I mean, where are people's brains? Where do they park them before they start believing those kinds of stories?
Oh, exactly.
And they put that out there and expect us to take that as the truth, as reality.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, when I go down the rabbit hole on any of these people, I keep finding the same problems. The good old LDS genealogical website, FamilySearch.org, is notorious for overloading erroneous information, trying to make it look real by putting somebody's name in there 125 times. It only needs to be in there once, but oh no, we have all these people that are contributing the information. So therefore, it's in there 125 times. There might be one bogus one, but you've got to read all 125 to find the bogus one. Or they're all bogus. You know, there might be one real one. And it's usually I find it, but I try those sources and then I end up giving up on them because I've exhausted all the possibilities. But because it's not where they put it, doesn't mean it's not someplace.
Mm-hmm.
If you get my meaning, and
sure.
You have a knack for for tying those or connecting those dots as well. So I will post this.
Okay, very good. Oh my goodness, the time is slowing. We're already getting short on time. But yeah, Don, it's this is an ongoing investigation. Of course, I'm trying to spur enough interest here somehow to try and get some public demonstrations to stop this insanity going on. People listen to this and download that writing, I just strongly advise you to really look at all of the footnotes. They're all easy links, quick links to check out the whole story. That et cetera, ETC group primer on nanotechnology is a must read to get a glimpse of what is possible with this stuff. And then, of course, following through with the other news stories on DynCorp. It's just what an incredible story that's ongoing.
Yeah, and we've been down that rabbit hole, haven't we, already?
We surely have, Don. Any help you can give as far as, you know, corroborating the Woolsey story. My source claimed to just think he knew of it. It was a common knowledge who Woolsey's dad was, and it was kind of a joke in the agency. But again, what corroboration do we have other than pictures? And that's pretty solid. I mean, come on.
Well, I've got the pictures of when he was quite younger, when both were quite younger. So you'll find that to be pretty interesting.
Fantastic. Okie doke.
All right, and the name of the article is Nanotech, DynCorp, and NSA Goes BANG, the Holy Trinity and the Unholy Trinity and the Implosion of Freedom by H. Ruat, Ph.D., N.D. So I thank you for being on the show. It was a barn burner tonight, a lot of information.
Well, I enjoy it, Don, and you're always able to bounce ideas off and make sense of them. So I appreciate you for that as well. So thanks for having me, and good night.
Okay, and I look forward to your visit next week on Evident Footprints. So you have a good night.
Yes, folks, you too, Don.
Okay. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio, and our special guest, Dr. A. Truat. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying Evident Footprints. Also, want to thank Don Newsom for the sound and Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible at bbsradio.com. Most of all, I'd like to thank you in the listening audience. Join me again tomorrow when my special guest will be none other than a vaccine researcher, Allison Jones. And got Ingrid Castle, Drew Raines, and Jim Murray throughout the rest of the week. Going to be some interesting shows. So I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.